Once I lived a life of a millionaire, spending my money I didn't care. I carried my friends out for a good time, buying bootleg liquor, champagne and wine. When I begin to fall,
I'm really struck, and maybe you are too, by the clarity of Bessie Smith's voice on this and other records. It's partly her perfect diction, accurate intonation, and powerful singing voice, all of which help. And you'd have to credit the blues and blues standard songs that Bessie Smith perfected, like this Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out, Jimmy Cox's words and music, and which we'll hear a full recording of later on in the show. There's a directness in the blues that lends itself to piercing emotional effect, but it's also Bessie Smith's natural ability to cut through emotionally. I don't know of any other singer who was able to overcome the primitive recording technology of her time quite so completely as Bessie Smith. And by the way, when this recording was made in September of 1929, the stock market had yet to crash. It was at its all-time peak, only to drastically fall less than 2 weeks later, the event that precipitated the 10-year-long depression. So Bessie Smith was a little prescient in conveying a calamity of substance and spirit. But once the crash hit, this record was heard everywhere, and you didn't have to have had $1 million to identify with the loss and heartbreak that Bessie puts across. We're going to spend some time with the Empress of the Blues, the great Bessie Smith, on At the Jazz Band Ball today. I'm Kevin McLaughlin. Hey, it's great to have you along. This is At the Jazz Band Ball, a podcast devoted to early jazz and musicians from the 1920s to the 1950s. I'm Kevin McLaughlin, your host, and I produce the show from Cleveland, Ohio. And it's available on Substack, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Let's get to some jazz. Well, Bessie Smith's recording career really started in 1923. She began recording for the OK label, which was one of the very early Race record labels, a subsidiary of Columbia. Here she's accompanied by her down-home boys, which included Ernest Elliott clarinet, Clarence Williams piano, who was one of her early managers, but it didn't work out too well since he kept on withholding royalties from her. And then Buddy Christian is on banjo. So here is Beale Street Mama, an early Bessie Smith from 1923.
Oh.
Beale Street Mama, Bessie Smith, one of her first recordings in 1923, New York City, with her own down-home boys accompanying her, Ernest Elliott clarinet, Clarence Williams piano, and Buddy Christian banjo. Well, I'll just give you a few facts about Bessie Smith. By the way, I'm getting a lot of my information from the very excellent biography by Chris Albertson in a new and revised edition from 2003. It's called Bessie. Bessie Smith was born in Chattanooga, Tennessee in about 1894-ish, though the 1900 census has her birth year as 1892. So you decide. She lost both parents pretty early. Her father when she was just a baby, and her mother when she wasn't quite 10. She began singing for pennies on street corners at age 9 with her older brother Andrew, who played guitar. She later joined Ma Rainey's minstrel show called Rabbit Foot Minstrels and was really a kind of protege of Ma Rainey, one of the very first of the established blues singers. Well, she learned a lot from Ma Rainey. She learned how to hold the stage, and she got a lot of her early theatrical training from her. She eventually went on tour for the TOBA, the Theater Owners Booking Association, which many of the performers called Tough on Black Asses. And in 1923, she made a career move to New York City. By 1923, she was living in Harlem with her ne'er-do-well husband, Jack G. Now, Jack G was quite a character. He was a night watchman, but he pretended that he was a cop, a policeman. He also pretended that he was Bessie Smith's manager, but he spent most of his time promoting himself and collecting the money that she made. Well, they stayed together miraculously for 6 tumultuous years, often at each other's throats. Next, we have a recording of W.C. Handy's composition, St. Louis Blues. It was written in 1914, but here it recorded in 1925 as a trio with Louis Armstrong cornet, Fred Longshaw reed organ, and Bessie on vocals. It's widely regarded as one of those landmarks, one of the very best versions of St. Louis blues, and one of the landmarks in Bessie Smith's career. Longshaw on reed organ, sort of a harmonium, gives the music quasi-religious flavor, and Armstrong provides a great foil for Smith, sort of noodling in the background. And Bessie unleashes the emotional intensity kind of gradually, spooling it out over the whole piece, waiting for the very last word, nowhere, for the climax. And by the way, there was a short film of St. Louis Blues made in 1929 with Bessie singing and acting that you can still find on YouTube if you look. It's the only film of a Bessie Smith performance, and so you really get a sense of the power she had on stage, and it's worth checking out. Here's the recording of St. Louis Blues from 1925. Bessie Smith vocals, Louis Armstrong cornet, and Fred Longshaw on the reed organ.
Thank you.
St. Louis Blues, recorded in 1925. It was the version with Bessie Smith and Louis Armstrong on cornet, which was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 1993. Also had Fred Longshaw on the reed organ, which was a kind of harmonium. You might have noticed that the form that W.C. Handy uses is a little bit unusual for a blues. The verses are in the familiar standard 12-bar blues form in common time. First two lines are repeated, and then there's a 16-bar bridge with kind of a habanera rhythm that Jelly Roll Morton called the Spanish tinge, and characterized by Handy as a tango. And then the repeat of the blues comes back. You're listening to At the Jazz Band Ball. I'm your host, Kevin McLaughlin. And today we're spending some time with the Empress of the Blues, the great Bessie Smith. Next, we have a recording of Bessie Smith singing Backwater Blues, which she wrote in response to a flood disaster in the Mississippi Delta. In the spring of 1927, a train carrying Smith and her band was halted outside a southern Ohio town. There were floodwaters covering the tracks, and the troupe had to be ferried by rowboat to the theater in which they were to perform. And the audience there called out to her to sing a blues about the flood, but she said she didn't have one. And she was sorry, but she just didn't have one. So she, after that performance, she went home and she wrote one. And that's what we're going to listen to. This is Backwater Blues from 1927. It's Bessie Smith vocals and James P. Johnson on piano.
When it rained 5 days and the sky turned dark and night. When it rained 5 days and the sky turned dark and night. Then trouble taking place in the lowlands at night. Make a poor girl wonder where she wanna go. Then they rolled a little boat about 5 miles across the pond. Then they rolled a little boat about 5 miles across the pond. I packed all my clothes, sold them in, and they rolled alone. When it's thunder and lightning and the wind begins to blow. When it thunders and lightning and the wind begins to blow. There's thousands of people ain't got no place to go. Up on some high old lonesome hill. And I went and stood up on some high old lonesome hill. Then looked down on the house where I used to live. Backwater blues done caused me to pack my things.
Backwater Blues from 1927. That was Bessie Smith with James P. Johnson, the pianist, a favorite accompanist of Bessie's and kind of a musical soulmate. James P. Johnson, who appeared with Bessie on many of her tours and some of her earliest recordings, including that one, Backwater Blues. We're listening to Bessie Smith, the great empress of the blues, today on At the Jazz Band Ball. Well, 1925 may have been Bessie Smith's peak year up to that point. She was a star of her own summer tent show called Harlem Frolics, and she bought her own luxury rail car for her troupe to travel around in. It was a real lavish affair with two stories, a full kitchen that could feed up to 40 people at a time, four bedrooms and a bathroom. And it allowed her and her musicians to avoid having to find accommodations when they traveled in the Jim Crow South. Well, Harlem Frolics, that traveling tent show, grossed huge sums, and its successor, Mississippi Days, did the same. And Smith soon became the highest-salaried black star in the world, out-earning the likes of Louis Armstrong and Josephine Baker. Well, next we're going to hear a tune that came from this period. This is Cakewalkin' Babies from Home, 1925. It was a recording that wasn't released until 1940, after Bessie Smith's death in 1937. Well, we don't really know why Cakewalkin' Babies was rejected, but one theory is that Frank Walker, who was Bessie Smith's manager, felt that it was too close in style to what the white vaudeville singer Sophie Tucker would sing, and they thought it just wouldn't do well in the 1925 race market. All right, well, here is Cakewalkin' Babies from Home. This is the Fletcher Henderson's Hot Six with Bessie Smith vocals, Joe Smith, her favorite cornet player, Charlie Green trombone, Buster Bailey clarinet, Coleman Hawkins is here on tenor sax, and Fletcher Henderson piano, Charlie Dixon banjo, and Ralph Escudero on the bass.
It's not
Cakewalking Babies from Home, 1925, Bessie Smith and Fletcher Henderson's Hot Six. A performance that apparently sounded too much like Sophie Tucker to be released in 1925. And Bessie's rail car did not mean she escaped racial conflict, but she was a pretty fierce opponent when it did happen. I love the story about her first run-in with the KKK. In July 1927, about a half dozen Klansmen appeared outside of one of her tent performances and began to pull up the tent stakes, threatening to collapse it. When members of her band told Smith about it, she ran outside and shook her fist at the Klansmen and yelled, "I'll get the whole damn tent out here. You just pick up them sheets and run." When Smith returned to perform in the tent, she told her band they were nothing but a bunch of sissies. Here's a recording she made right around the same time, 1927's After You've Gone. It's a popular song by Turner Layton and Henry Creamer. It's one of Bessie's infrequent non-blues numbers. Bessie Smith in fine voice there with After You've Gone, a popular song by Creamer and Turner. We heard Bessie Smith vocal, Joe Smith, no relation, on cornet, Jimmy Harrison trombone, Buster Bailey clarinet, Fletcher Henderson was on piano, and Charlie Dixon played the banjo. From the late 1920s, popular fashion had moved on from the blues, reducing record sales. And with the Depression starting to bite, the TOBA, that black vaudeville circuit, began to decline, and Columbia, Bessie Smith's record label, started to bear down. Well, Smith took to recording things that sold well, including her famous double entendre blues numbers, which were favorites of her TOBA theater audiences. and in some ways eclipsed a lot of her other work, for better or worse. We're going to hear Need a Little Sugar in My Bowl, probably the most famous of these naughty blues. But before we get to that, we're going to revisit what we started the show off with Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out from 1929.
Lived the life of a millionaire, spending my money I didn't care. I carried my friends out for a good time, buying bootleg liquor, champagne and wine. When I began to fall so low, I didn't have a friend and no place to go. So if I ever get my hand on a dollar again, I'm gonna hold on to it till them eagles grin. Nobody knows you when you're down and out. In my pocket, not one penny, and my friends are any. But if I ever get on my feet again, then I'll meet my long lost friend. It's mighty strange, without a doubt. Nobody knows you when you're down and out. I mean, when you're down and out.
Sugar in my bowl, doggone.
in my boat. I need a little sugar in my boat. I need a little hot dog between my rows. You getting different, I've been told. Move your finger, drop something in my bowl. I need a little steamy on my floor. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. Get off your knees, I can't see what you're driving at. It's dark down there, looks like a snake. Come on here and drop something here in my bowl. Stop your fooling and drop something in my bowl.
Bessie Smith singing Need a Little Sugar in My Bowl from 1931 with Clarence Williams at the piano. And before that, we heard her Depression-era anthem, I guess, Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out, 1929. Bessie Smith, vocal, accompanied by Ed Allen, cornet, Garvin Bushell, alto sax, Greeley Walton, tenor sax, Clarence Williams, again, piano, and Cyrus St. Clair on the tuba. Well, Bessie Smith had started to revitalize her career in the early 30s, thanks in part to John Hammond, and was on the verge of a comeback when her life was cut short by an automobile accident. While driving with her partner Richard Morgan, Lionel Hampton's uncle, by the way, in Clarksdale, Mississippi, their car rear-ended a slow-moving truck and rolled over, crushing Bessie's left arm and ribs, and she bled to death by the time she reached the hospital. Well, we've been listening to The Empress of the Blues today on At the Jazz Band Ball. I'm Kevin McLaughlin. I hope you enjoyed listening to some of Bessie Smith's best-known recordings, sprinkled with some highlights of her too-short life. I'll leave you with one more. This is Gimme a Pigfoot from 1933. But first, if you're enjoying these podcasts, I hope you'll write and let me know. I'd love to hear what you think about the music and musicians that I include. And if you have any ideas for upcoming show themes, love to hear those too. The email for the show is kevin@thejazzbandball.com. And besides writing, the best way I have to know that you're out there is for you to rate us, either in stars or in a few words, on whatever podcast platform you prefer. And thanks to everybody who has subscribed to my Substack, which is kevinmclaughlin.substack.com. We've had several subscriptions and followers lately, so I always appreciate that. It's free to listen, but if you want to donate, you can. Thanks for discovering us and for listening to us regularly. Well, in 1933, John Hammond, who also mentored Billie Holiday and also promoted the careers of several jazz musicians, asked Bessie Smith to record a few sides with OK, her old label. Well, John Hammond claimed to have found her in semi-obscurity, working as a hostess in a speakeasy on Ridge Avenue in Philadelphia. Well, although Smith worked at Arts Cafe on Ridge Avenue later in 1936, she wasn't a hostess. And in fact, in 1933, when she made these recordings with Hammond, she was still touring and performing. So it was a good thing that Hammond restarted Bessie Smith's career, but his memory may have been a little faulty in this regard. And by the way, Bessie Smith never received royalties for these or other recordings throughout her career. It was estimated that she earned total $28,000 for all of the records that she made. All right, here's Gimme a Pigfoot and a Bottle of Beer by Wesley Wilson. Bessie Smith and Ensemble in her final recording session in 1933. Have a great week, everybody.
$0.25, ha! 25 cents are going nowhere. Cause listen, yeah, up in Harlem every Saturday night when the highbrows get together is just too tight. They all congregate at an all-night strut. And what they do is tut, tut, tut. Oh, Hannah Brown from Crosstown gets full of corn and starts breaking them down. Just at the break of day, you can hear old Hannah say, give me a Bigfoot and a bottle of beer. Send me Kate, I don't care. I feel just like I want a clown. Give the piano player a drink because he's bringing me down. He's got a rhythm, yeah. When he stomps his feet, he sends me right off to sleep. Check all your razors and your guns. We're gonna be wrestling when the wagon comes. I want a Bigfoot and a bottle of beer. Send me calls, I don't care. Slay me calls, I don't care.
Bringing me down, he's got a rhythm, yeah. When he stomps his feet, he's